The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faster by, good afternoon. 7 minutes after midday today. Thanks for popping by. Man in Line's on till one. You text 166177, email studio manxradio.com, WhatsApp 166177, call 66 1368. We're trying to track down that dodgy accommodation that some people have been buying on the island. Obviously, it couldn't be Airbnb and surely not homestay, but anything you can fill in between the cracks, then by all means, get in touch. Yesterday, do you remember we were looking for George William Dugdale, that white metal medal that we found, that a correspondent had found. We're still trying to track down George William Dugdale. Lots of people sent some suggestions last night. I tried phoning around a few people. I think they were watching the TT. Nobody was answering the phone. But anyway, if you can track down George William Dugdale for a Richmond Grove in Douglas, by all means. We think it was 8 Richmond Grove, didn't we, yesterday? Got that far with it. You may have heard last week that a Manx pharmacy has been given a licence to dispense medicinal cannabis on the island. The business will provide an import and dispensing service for those who have private prescriptions for medicinal cannabis. The contract for the as yet unnamed pharmacy, I can't believe nobody knows, is being finalised. It's hoped the service will be up and running in the coming months. So we're vague there. We don't know who it is in the coming months. 2, 1, 10. Ramsey MHK Treasury Minister Dr. Allenson has been a long-time supporter for the reform of our cannabis laws.
Well, I'm really confident that the Department of Health and Social Care are taking this seriously. They're moving forward. We can develop a pharmacy sector on the Isle of Man to provide for medicinal cannabis products for patients, and then we can actually hopefully expand the medical provision so that they can be seen on island by practitioners. They can be, it can be explained to them how these substances can help, and then they can access the help they need. And at the moment, with the regulations, they have to be on a specialist register. So it is a GP in the UK. There are one or two also working in the Channel Islands, and often that's an online consultation or a physical consultation with someone who's over at one of the specialist clinics. What I'd like to see is us expanding the training that we have on island so more doctors on the Isle of Man could perhaps join that specialist register and therefore provide services to residents here.
I don't know how you feel about this, whether it's something, whether you're in receipt of medicinal cannabis prescriptions or you think this is a good idea. Maybe you have other opinions. By all means, get in touch. But it seems like that's the way we're going at the moment. And Dr. Allenson, as I mentioned, a long-time proponent of this, long-time advocate for medicinal cannabis on the Isle of Man. I suppose the next question is recreational cannabis. A message in from Dick, this was Richard, who just said, lest we forget D-Day, the 6th of June. I found it amazing. We got a day for this and a day for that and other days. But lest we forget, yesterday was D-Day. Over 10,000 men died on all sides on D-Day. So we can celebrate the Queen, Lord of Man's reign, and all nationalities stand in peace together, but not a word. I don't know whether you went yesterday, Dick, but there was a D-Day anniversary commemorated in Douglas. There was a service of remembrance and dedication to mark the 78th anniversary of D-Day landings. The Mayor's Chaplain, Reverend Dr. Michael Bryden, in the presence of Her Worship, the Councillor Janet Tominey, the Mayor. It was held in the gardens adjacent to Douglas Town Hall. She was amongst those who laid a wreath as part of the act of remembrance. There was a small gathering of members, officers and representative from service organisations headed up by the president of the Normandy Veterans Association, because we know him well, Sir Lawrence New, who read the Ode to Remembrance close to the plaque unveiled last year in memory of Hector Duff, the sole surviving Normandy veteran in the island till he passed in November 2019. Hector Duff's son and daughter-in-law were present for the commemoration service, and his son also laid a wreath 160,000 troops from Britain, the US, Canada and other nations landed in Normandy on June the 6th, 1944. The landings in northern France were key in securing victory for the Allies in World War II, and it remains to this day the largest seaborne invasion in history. If you went last yesterday, I do hope you enjoyed it. It meant something to you. And that's our little bit. But interesting, Dick, as well. A D-Day commemoration. I just wonder, how would we fit it in? And do you think it's, I mean, do you think D-Day sits alongside Remembrance, or do you think it needs its own day? Just a thought, and we welcome everybody's thought. The cannabis issue says this, calling himself Joe. Hi, Joe. Good news, we're finally getting a pharmacy dispensing medicinal cannabis, but unfortunately you'll need a prescription from a private medical professional. Is that fair? If you've got enough money for private medical care, then you get the benefits of medicinal cannabis. If you're poor, you can't afford private medical, then it's tough luck, so the black market will flourish. That follows, seems to follow, Joe. Thanks for pointing that out. You will need a private prescription, which obviously will cost you. The potential for cannabis and hemp growing, says Tony. Terry. The potential cannabis and hemp growing idea for the island is overdue. I feel that honest and balanced facts about the plant need to be presented so the public, that's you, me, everybody, can make a reasoned choice. After the public consultation, there's been a clear public mandate given for the change in laws around the plant. The industrial uses as well as medicinal uses of cannabis, they're vast and could help save our NHS millions whilst creating trade and works. Very easy to harvest and, of course, is environmentally friendly. America, Canada, other forward-thinking countries, says Terry, have legalised small amounts of cannabis for personal, recreational and therapeutic use. And this is proving very successful. Where are we up to in this regard? This would stop criminal supply and the black market with the profits going back into society. Thank you, Terry. And again, something we talked about on Man in Line an awful lot. On one side, you have medicinal cannabis for treating medical problems. The other side, personal, recreational. If you want, Terry, therapeutic. Where do you stand on this? Do you think that legalising, growing our own cannabis on the Isle of Man and legalising small amounts for personal, recreational and therapeutic use would stop the criminal supply? Now, let's face it, that blights everybody's life. It touches just about everybody on the Isle of Man. We will all get involved in this, whether it is through buying stuff, some organisations, shadow organisations rely on the supply of drugs on the Isle of Man. So, do you think if we legalise the growing of it, that would stop that? It would stop the criminal supply, that stuff that comes over from Liverpool all the time. Cannabis is worth roughly twice on the Isle of Man that it is in Liverpool, and hence supply and demand. The drugs come to the Isle of Man. And with that, the criminal mind and the criminal intent, which again touches everybody. Because once people get hooked on cannabis, once people overuse cannabis, it gives us all problems. We're all part of society. Hi, Andy. If a person's disabled or lifetime illness on low income, how are they going to get a private prescription? Won't be able to afford this medicinal cannabis treatment, says Crystal. Nobody's addressed that yet if it's just private prescriptions. And another note in just said medicinal cannabis is a natural product as opposed to manufactured chemicals. So perhaps, says this old guy, his words, not mine, 544 texter, I would rather take cannabis products than painkillers, which cause all sorts of problems when taken with additional medicine. Lots of people have that view. Thanks for sharing it with us. Here's a message, says Tom. Before buying an electric vehicle, have a look on YouTube for battery fires. It's frightening, says Tom. Well, tell us all about it, Tom. There are battery fires, yes, Rick. But what's your point, Tom, apart from have a look at YouTube? Ian said, I note that the TT schedule for next year has the senior race day on Saturday. We've been looking at this today, actually, in the newsroom. Traditionally, we have the Manx Bank holiday on the senior race day on the Friday of TT week. Are we still going to get the Friday of TT week as the Manx Bank holiday, as the senior race will have moved to Saturday? And nobody's talked about the elephant in the room. What about the post-TT races at Belown? A few years ago, they did move the senior to Saturday because it got washed out. It was waterlogged on the Friday. But if the senior race day is going to be on the Saturday, I think they're having six race days throughout that the course. But anyway, as that becomes more apparent, obviously next year's schedule has been released, but that's going to be the case. Senior race day is on the Saturday next year. So what's going to happen to the senior race day bank holiday? How much is a private prescription, says Jules? Does anybody know how much it will cost for a private prescription to get prescribed for this medicinal cannabis? And a message in from 276. Thank you. This Mrs. Dugdale lived at number 4 Richmond Grove, the first house past the lane on the left. She was often visited by her nephew, who I believed is a retired policeman from Peel. I suggest that he be tried. May not be his family, but the chances are he'll be able to advance the search. Thank you for that. We're trying to track down Mr. Dugdale. Well, a direct relative of Mr. Dugdale, to give them their medal back for loyal service to the Queen, to the royal household. Now, you may have seen them dotted around the Snaefell Mountain course, dressed in bright orange. I know you know who we're thinking of, and these are the people on whom the TT rests. Because if there is a pyramid, if there's a hierarchy, obviously the riders, the teams and everybody are there. But supporting the whole pyramid of the TT are the people in orange, the TT marshals, a vital part of keeping the riders and spectators as safe as possible. So how have they been finding TT? It's interesting to find out how people's TT has been after missing it out for 2 years. So the riders, the retailers, government, everybody has had their say. So let's hear from the marshals. Christy found out what it takes to be a marshal.
I'm at the moment sitting in the teepee, which is at the back of the grandstand, and this is where we support and look after all our marshals throughout the event.
And that is Andy Williams of the TT Marshals Association.
And we have a place where they come in and sign up, and a place where they sit and have some R&R, cup of tea and coffee, and that's what I do throughout the event. Well, it's gone really well this year. We've had really good support from our marshals, lots of people signing up, getting out there on the hedges. And, you know, we've done really well in terms of, you know, getting our people trained through the online training and then getting out on the day.
Has it been a bit tricky to motivate people with it being 2 years off, or have people been more enthusiastic than ever?
I think most of our marshals and the people who we see, they've been more enthusiastic than ever to come over and support the event, and they've been itching to get back. We started getting inquiries as early as January for people asking for the event to be opened, and we're really keen to come up and sign on. We've had a really positive support and response.
So if anyone's over here maybe for the first time, and obviously you're going to start looking for next year presumably, what sort of advice would you give to people? What do they need to know about maybe becoming a marshal?
So what we advise people is, because a lot of our marshals are on island but also off, is that we tried to make our website the one-stop shop to find out about marshalling. And so if you go to www.iomttmarshals.com, we've got a wealth of information there about the course, what it takes to be a marshal, the benefits of marshalling, the sort of community aspects of it, and a lot of FAQs about sort of the support that we can provide and some of the advantages. And what we advise people now is, if they're interested, and a lot of people being in saying they're looking at, you know, 2023, is to go to our site. There's a Get Involved button there where you leave your registered information. And then once the event opens, we can send details to you to ask you to log in, do a couple of quick training courses, and then we can get you onto the marshalling books and then get you out there.
What is the best thing about the TT, Andy?
It's just the atmosphere. I mean, you know, the island changes during the 2 weeks. It just comes alive. and it's just a great place to be.
Andy Williams of the TT Marshals Association. So you want more information about becoming a TT Marshal, it's iomttmarshals.com, iomttmarshals.com. An amazing bunch of people, and you just wonder what the TT, well, there wouldn't be a TT without the Marshals. What do you think it is that attracts TT Marshals? The hold it has over them, the heritage, the sort of allure. You may have heard Phil Gorn talking about the fact that, you know, as a kid, he watched the TT from a hedge and has become a marshal for years and years and years, and many marshals have done it for decades upon decades. So we pay tribute to them, we thank them, and if it's something you'd like to, if you're a marshal or you know somebody who's a marshal, you want to share some thoughts, by all means, get in touch. David's on now. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. You were talking yesterday, I'm led to believe, about the experience being coming to the Isle of Man for the TT and holidays and so forth.
Yeah.
And I just wondered myself, hearing views from people I know, people who are on Facebook saying when they're at the airports and they're EasyJet, and I have to name them there, just cancelling flights and can't get hold of the ticket desk or an official to make comment. And then the airline's just saying to them, oh, just make a claim. Have you ever tried to make a claim?
As they did last night, that 9:05 flight to Gatwick was cancelled. Well, obviously, the one coming over was cancelled, but the one going back. So lots of TT visitors leaving the island at the airport and just told, get on with it.
Yeah. And my thoughts are, what can we do then as a nation in the Isle of Man? We have a tourist board, or equivalent to a tourist board there. Why can't we have some officials or have some stewards that are in England somewhere in the Heathrow or the other airports and say to them, look, we've got a problem, there's a couple hundred people there or 50 people there, can you go down and talk to them? And why can't we get transport made to get them up to Liverpool and put them on the boat, which won't cost us anything because we own it?
Apparently, I mean, the people were halfway through security, going through security at Gatwick, before they were told.
And isn't that terrible? And I wonder, how are we doing beating our chest to say to our part of EasyJet and saying, we don't like this, it's bad on us, what can we do to help as a government? And we should be offering that olive branch to say, can we get one of our people that's close to the airports in the UK, Scotland or whatever, go down there, or even our own airport, and say to him, look, I'm from the tourist board, I don't do miracles, but we're here to help. And that's the issue I want to put out there.
And last night, I think there were some people who legged it from Gatwick and got the train to Liverpool, at Heesham, I think, and got the... think maybe there's an overnight Mananan, I think, from Liverpool that they got.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not everybody who can do that.
Well, the other thing, too, is, and I have to say it, because I'm not an app person, but I'm led to believe, too, this... When you're at a certain age there and somebody says, oh, just use your app, get your phone out, use your app, it'll sort you out. Have you ever tried to do these? Have you ever tried to get in touch with an insurance company or the operator to say and claim your money back? And I bet you nobody's ever made it easy.
And trying to do that at 10 o'clock at night as well. But that's an important thing. The fact is, if we did have TT fans who were at Ronald's Way last night,
yeah,
it would have helped if somebody was there with a bib on, with a TT tourism bib or something, just to say, look, you know, we can help, we can sort this out.
Yeah.
Well, there's something we can do, because it would have sweetened the pill, which otherwise, I mean, we've just been hearing from people who couldn't go last night. There was a guy starting a brand new job today. He'd been at the TT and he was flying back last night to start a brand new job this morning. And, you know, his excuse on his first day at his new job was, I was at the TT and EasyJet cancelled the flight. You know.
Yeah. But what we need is that the government or somebody in tourists to say, this is what we can do to help. What is our 10 penneth work we can do to help people?
Okay, all right, David, appreciate that.
Bye.
Thanks for calling us today. You may be familiar with Radcliffe Villas, the Adult Learning Disability Respite Unit. Well, they're redeveloping Radcliffe Villas on Glencrutchery Road opposite the police headquarters and the TT paddock area. There's a brand new, it used to be, I think, at the Greenfield Garden Centre. They're putting a new facility constructed on land at the rear of the existing respite unit. There'll be a phased approach involving part demolition of unused elements of the existing facility, allowing space for a new building to be constructed safely on that vacant plot at the back. Now, when that's built, staff and service users are going to be transitioned from the old to the new. That will allow the existing facility to be knocked down and the land remediated to an acceptable standard. Ratcliffe Villas, I don't know whether you remember, opened in 1983. It's the only facility on the island that provides overnight respite care for adults with learning disability. The building's kind of been expanded through, it's like got carbuncles all over it, numerous extensions over the past 40 years. And once the construction is complete on the new build, there'll be capacity for 12 service users. So it's long overdue, but we wish it all well that Ratcliffe Villas Adult Learning Disability Respite Unit is going to be redeveloped. Not before time, but it's good news.
True Manx. That's the TT. World-class racing that could only happen here. And ShopRite's the Manx supermarket like no other. It's where the riders shop. Great value food and drink and the biggest choice of local produce anywhere. Plus all your favourite brands as well as the best of Sainsbury's. Whether you're camping or staying in style, you'll find everything you need to make this TT your best ever at ShopRite. Open 8 till 9 Monday to Saturday, 9 till 6 on Sunday.
Selling your home can be a battle, but with a new £750 fixed fee for properties up to £350,000, it's a battle. CG Red will help you win. We will sell them on the beachfront, in the fields and in the streets, and charge just £750. Because when it comes to giving you the best possible deal, we will never surrender.
Sell your home for just £750 with CG Red. Visit cgred.im.
Never was so much saved by so many than with CG Red.
Every drop is precious. Water. So easy to take it for granted, isn't it? Our reservoirs supply the needs of our island, but with the effects of climate change, that's becoming more challenging every year. Manx water is the only water we have, so we need to make every drop count by using it wisely, at home, in the garden, and in general. Visit manxutilities.im to find out how you can begin smarter living to lower energy bills and reduce your impact on our island environment.
It's time to celebrate the sound of a generation. Friday, July 1st, the magic of Motown comes to the Villa Marina. Already seen by over 1 million people, it's your turn to catch one of the biggest success stories in British theater history. A breathtaking live concert spectacular featuring classics from the greatest Motown artists of all time. Book now at VillaGaiety.com or call 600-555 and experience the magic of Motown.
Tonight here on Manx Radio at 6 o'clock, join me for part two of The Helmet's Last Bash, a look back at the memories from the world-famous Purple Helmet Motorcycle Display Team, who this year are going to have their final year performing together. Derry Kizik and Jim Davidson tell me about trouble with the local police in the Czech Republic and also a dabble with royalty. So join me, Simon Clark, for The Helmet's Last Bash, part two, tonight here on Manx Radio at 6 o'clock. And you can download the podcast for free on Manx Radio's website.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Meyer, thanks for getting in touch. Lots of stuff regarding marshals today. Thanks for those emails and texts in. And here's one that says, I, like others, have CFS, fibromyalgia and other health issues. So we need medication to help alleviate the chronic pain that chemicals, I think, are doing more harm than good. So we really need to get all of these pills and we really need to go herbal. Our NHS, says T, is going to have a crisis on their hands. This is T on 476. If they keep dishing out opiate-based painkillers for minor ailments. If you look at America, United States, the medicinal use of cannabis wouldn't be addictive or cause the major side effects caused with opiate medication. They have massive problems in America with them. I have to say, they did get to opiate medication a lot sooner and a lot heavier use than certainly in the British Isles. T says, cannabis is easy to harvest, has many pain-killing relieving chemicals, THC and CBD, for epilepsy, Parkinson's and depression. It's been treated with cannabis. And I think it's proving successful. Mild recreational regulated cannabis, I think, would be good for tourism and trade. Are we talking about hash cafes, I wonder? Bruce said, I've just Googled it, a private consultation with GP paid by Bupa's £70. I think they'd give the prescription for free within that cost. A private consult, £70. Bruce in Ramsey, thank you for that. An Isle of Man pharmacy being licensed is of limited value until Isle of Man GPs are registered. Private prescriptions will have to come from off the Isle of Man. Personally, says 835, I'm ready for the TT to be over. It's only Tuesday. Too much traffic. I think there are too many idiots on bikes. These are 835's words. Having said that, it doesn't seem to be anywhere near as busy as previous years. Funnily enough, on a separate note, the biggest complaint I hear from visitors is the state of the prom. They don't like it, and they're not impressed. Here's a note in that just said, I'd like to ask who in the Ramsey Town Commissioners decided in their wisdom to close one of their main car parks, Marketplace in Ramsey, for four days and four nights during the busiest time of the year. They had live bands playing in the evening, but there's no need to close it during the day. Ridiculous, says Ellen. Well, they're having lots of fun at night. Does that countermand it? I don't know. Dick says, I think too many things are being forgotten, but thanks for mentioning D-Day. Mention the memorial next year. All right, Dick, we'll certainly do that. Thanks for pointing that out. Same thing happened on Saturday when they cancelled EasyJet. Left to sleep at the Isle of Man airport. Is that true? Did you sleep at the airport, then flew to Edinburgh on the Sunday, then fly again to Heathrow, then train to Gatwick? It wasn't really good enough. Isle of Man to Gatwick via Edinburgh and Heathrow and a train. Thanks for that note. And it just seems to be weird that we're getting to the stage after COVID now where there's all the problems with aviation. I'm led to believe it's not down to pilots, although there is a shortage of pilots. It is down to security cleared staff at airports. Obviously, all the staff that work at airports have to have proper security clearance, and it's that's taking all the time. Lots of staff were laid off during the pandemic at airports, so airports are basically short of personnel to do that stuff in the airport that requires you to be security cleared. Takes some ages. That's why it's taken as long. Heaven knows you thought they'd have thought this through. A note in from Ollie who just said, medicinal cannabis will be of great help for people with ME, possibly chronic fatigue syndrome. But long COVID comes into this, says Ollie, and I just wonder what's happening on the Isle of Man. Ollie, it's said that the Isle of Man's own support service for people who are suffering from long COVID, CFS, chronic fatigue syndrome, and ME, could set a gold standard for other services in the UK. They got £400,000 as a budget. They've been working for a number of years to get the service up and running. This is a service for ME, chronic fatigue syndrome, and long COVID sufferers. It's now set to be up and running later this summer. Juan Corlett is from the charity ME Support Isle of Man. And Juan says the point is to get the diagnosis spot on.
The importance of a detailed diagnostic assessment can't be underestimated, because it's quite easy to misdiagnose with these types of conditions that are quite complex. There's different conditions that sometimes overlap, and it's really important to know the condition that you're living with, so that you get the right advice and you manage it appropriately. And it is, of course, really important to get that advice early as well, so that you manage early on in the condition. And it's unfortunately the case that when you don't get good advice in the early stages, that you can exacerbate the symptoms. I do want to put on record our thanks, and we really appreciate the efforts of Manx Cares project team, particularly in recent months in gathering momentum and putting themselves in a strong position.
That's Joan Corlett from ME Support Isle of Man. So diagnosis is important. Now, communications manager for the ME Association is Russell Fleming. And he says that Britain could benefit from this Manx initiative as well.
It's been a real concerted effort, patients, politicians and healthcare providers. And I think it serves as a gold standard for the rest of the UK, really, because at the moment we're trying to implement the new NICE guideline, which is a much improved guideline and lays out recommendations about ME/CFS to the NHS in England, Wales and Northern Ireland, and with Scotland hopefully following suit. I can tell you the Isle of Man development is already proving inspirational to both the NHS existing services in the UK and to commissioners who are looking to bring in new services in areas where we currently don't have any.
That's Russell Fleming talking about the Manx initiative and how it could benefit Britain. Well, CFS, chronic fatigue syndrome, is like trying to weave fog. Core symptoms are perhaps flare-ups of illnesses following an ordinary minor physical or mental activity. Post-exertional malaise, it's called, getting ill after doing something. And nobody quite knows what causes it. Nobody knows how the causes and mechanisms of CFS, chronic fatigue syndrome, ME, myalgic encephalomyelitis. Nobody quite knows what causes it, how it works, but they do know that you feel dreadful. And long COVID may come into this. So anybody who's had COVID, and I don't know whether you know anecdotally of people who've had COVID and currently are feeling dreadful and don't quite know, can't quite pin down what it is of why they're feeling dreadful. Sometimes people who've previously been fit and healthy suddenly nowadays are feeling absolutely rotten. Well, we don't know that it's chronic fatigue syndrome or ME or what long COVID is going to mean in the future. We're just really starting on it. But we'll see. And let's hope that that £400,000 can do some good. And if you've got anything you'd like to share, then by all means, get in touch. I agree with Terry, says this correspondent on 355. We can't stop people taking drugs or drink. We seemed to have learnt nothing from the failure of abolition. I realise that drug dealers would fight back, but I think it's a battle we could win if we could legalise cannabis on the Isle of Man. It could get rid of the criminal element. Other countries have made money from this. Prescriptions, I think, should be free. I don't use cannabis. That's Bet. Thank you, Bet, for your view on that. Perhaps you could get Rob Callister in to explain the rationale behind the changes for 2023. If it isn't broke, don't fix it, springs to mind, says Kevin. Actually, Kevin, Rob Callister was in the radio station earlier, so we may have a word on that later today on the news. Talking about those the battery fires in electric vehicles, the RATP, the French Transport Authority, recently withdrew their fleet of 149 fully electric blue buses, Bolloré blue buses, due to catastrophic spontaneous fires. So that's where the fires come in. You get that with batteries. It often happens with batteries. How on earth do you get round it? And where we're going to, is it going to be hydrogen for the future? If so, whereas everybody is going helter-skelter towards EVs nowadays, to electric vehicles, are you going to be then left with an EV with a big battery in the future? Who's going to be left with diesel engines and petrol engines? Does anybody know where the future is? Tommy, where's the future?
Oh, I don't worry about the future at my age, Andy. I think it's very short in every way, Andy. But we're talking about, I forgot the D-Day landing yesterday as well, Andy, because my dad was involved in those. He was on the store escort, you know, for the troops going ashore, and he got a signal coming through that you have to make all speed round to San Michel. That's that hook around the corner and the D-Day. And when they went round, they got the signal that had been taken, but there was the wrong signal altogether. And as soon as he got in sight round the corner, they were shelled, all the German guns opened up on them.
Do you know, Tommy, I think nobody who wasn't there has any idea what it was like on D-Day.
Well, exactly, Andy. But in a bizarre way, Andy, my dad could have been said to be responsible for ending the Second World War earlier than it did.
How's that?
Well, because he captured the U-boat ace of the time at Okreshme, and it was my dad that fired off the depth charge, forced him to the surface and that. And when he came aboard, he said, right, having him so, you know, he said to me, Dad, if I had one more torpedo, he said, I would have sunk you. And that, and he was the U-boat ace of the time. And it was my dad, destroyer, Captain Donald McIntyre. He became known as the U-boat killer. That was his nickname, Andy.
And your dad fired off the depth charge.
Yeah, he fired off the depth charge, and when he got to the surface, Otto Kreshma said, "You're lucky." He said, "If I'd have had one more torpedo, he said, I would have sunk you." You know, to me, Dad, he had perfect English, Andy. Isn't it bizarre how history goes?
And the fact is, Tommy, we're all living history. The fact that you got a connection through your dad to D-Day is very very, very important.
Of course it is. You must never forget it, Andy, ever.
Okay. All right, Tommy. Thanks. Are you enjoying TT, by the way, Tommy?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm just across the road. I'm 10 yards away, Andy, at Victoria Avenue. So I've got all the bikers, but I love all the atmosphere of it, you know, Andy. It's fantastic.
All right, Tommy.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Thanks for calling us today, Tommy. We appreciate that. Lots of stuff coming in regarding long COVID and people who are. Again, I don't know if you've been diagnosed with long COVID. What does the diagnosis consist of? How do they find out whether something is long COVID? CFS, ME, crikey, that's been around for a while. Do you remember it was the 1980s that ME, before that MS was diagnosed, but ME, or as they called it at the time, yuppie flu. Didn't quite know what it was, but people who had it knew certainly what it was. Why have we stopped having street vendors at TT? There used to be quite a lot of traders that would come over and set up in different places. The only ones you see now I think are tied up in ridiculous percentage of sale contracts. Is that right? Well, the government can do what it likes. Thank you for that. Text to 835. The government will sanction. You have to have a license to trade, and the government is in charge. The TT is part of the government, and the government, the Motorsport Division of the Department for Enterprise, run the TT. It's the government's to do with what they will. Just a little heads up to the bikers. I fell off the loo, broke front and back ribs and fractured my skull. Then I fell up a step and broke both my legs. You fell off the loo. Who was that? Just a quick word now on what's happening on the mountain. The notice from Tweetbeat says that the situation on the mountain is that there was a road traffic act. The news from the mountain, it is road closed between the Ramsey and the Craig, collisions on the Veranda and the 32nd milestone. But also we've had notice in there's been a road traffic collision in the area of Baldrang Corner on the Douglas to Laxey Coast Road. The road isn't closed at this time, but do take care in the area. Baldrang Corner on the Douglas to Laxey to Douglas Coast Road. Police are en route to the scene. Just something to be aware of. Take it easy, and let's hope everything is safe. There should be, this is JK, 100% saltwater-powered engines. The planet is 7/10 saltwater. Is it simple? Not used, because they can't. How does a saltwater engine work, JK? Tell us all about that. We were talking yesterday also about these, the fact that there are four spaces for 37 apartments in the old nurses' home on Westmoreland Road in Douglas. They're turning the old nurses' home into flats and a cafe. 21-bedroom flat, 17 two-bedroom apartments, should have 54 parking spaces under current planning policies. They are going to have a large number of bicycle storage spaces. But there are only four car parking spaces there, and two of them are for electric vehicles. Now, there was a meeting a couple of months ago at the Finchhill Pavilion and Bowling Club. The project is being led by the Manx Development Corporation. Four government ministers are involved, including the chair of the Housing Communities Board, Chris Thomas.
What the Manx Development Corporation has done is it's had £675,000 of expenditure approved already on pre-feasibility work, which is designs, surveys, all of that sort of thing, planning, and it's come to the conclusion it makes more sense, especially in this world where a lot of carbon is captured in existing buildings, to deal with the problems and to actually take off the top floor to deal with the leaking, put on a new top floor and actually repair what's there and create nearly 40 one- and two-bedroom flats for key workers for rent.
Who's actually going to be in control of this body? People say, we don't know who's on it, we don't know the staffing, etc. It's come from out of nowhere.
The board is public. There's a website about it. In questions in Tim Ward from me have now revealed its expenditure, both on staff and also on what it's doing. There's a public shareholder agreement between the Manx Development Corporation and Treasury. But these are the sorts of questions that we need nailed down at the moment. And I will be putting some further questions to enable the government, which came out of the Tim Ward, which I'm a member, so that we don't have any misunderstanding later on.
Can I mention parking? That's what's going to come up time and time again. Where do you park your cars?
Exactly. That's one of the crucial issues, and that's why I went to the managing director of Manx Development Corporation last week after the Tim Ward briefing and said, from the community point of view, we need to have a public meeting. It'd be good for you and it'd be good for the community.
Chris Thomas talking about this new development on Westmoreland Road, the old nurse's home, which is going to be flats and a cafe. The Manx Development Corporation is a new company operating at arm's length from they've only got one shareholder. It's the Isle of Man Treasury. It's basically a government arm's length company. Apparently what they want to make do is a contribution to urban and brownfield regeneration on the Isle of Man, and they intend to make a difference. Well, we would hope so. They want the island's urban landscape to be perceived by residents as vibrant, safe, of high design quality and environmentally efficient. In the late 19th century, our ancestors embarked on an ambitious townscape modernisation programme. Responding to an increase in the resident population within the island's principal towns and the year-on-year growth in tourists, the Isle of Man's ensuing prosperity was in large part due to the vision of a number of forward-looking individuals who shared a common purpose in wanting to ensure that the townscapes of the Isle of Man and the infrastructure would serve the immediate and future needs of the economy, social fabric, and the tourism industry. Basically, sounds like Manx Development Corporation want to be modern-day Victorians and want to have a big vision for the future. Well, we wish them well, but it's just that nobody should plan on having a car there. If there are only four spaces for 54 occupants, where's everybody going to park? Presumably Domain Road and Westmoreland Road, which would be fun, by the tennis club. Oh, more messages in today. Let me say hi to this is more Dugdale stuff. William George Dugdale used to work for the GPO telephones on the Isle of Man. It was a Crown service. Will the metal be linked to that? We'll find out more. We're getting to the bottom of the Dugdale thing. If you're in Ramsey, you'll probably know that Ramsey's Lloyd's Pharmacy in St Paul Square is closed for 2 weeks. They've got staffing shortages due to sickness. It's been necessary to close some Paul Square branch of Lloyd's Pharmacy for at least 2 weeks. You've been asked to be patient, as well as a patient, and remain go to Parliament Street to process prescriptions on behalf of both branches. Now, if you have a prescription or one that's owing at St Paul Square, you can get it from the Parliament Street store. And if you have a prescription sent from a GP surgery to St Paul Square, that can also be collected from Parliament Street. Everything is being moved across. Now, just be aware that the telephone line at Parliament Street is really busy at the moment. But if you're worried or you require require a delivery, there's a central customer services number that you can call, which will facilitate it. This is for Lloyds Pharmacy's central customer services number, which is 0345 600 3565. That's 0345 600 3565. This is because Lloyd's Pharmacy in St Paul Square is closed for 2 weeks.
Tune in and chill out with Chris Pearson on Manx Radio.
The Chill Out Show from Manx Radio. Sunday evenings between 7 and 9. A great way to kick back, relax and wind down from your weekend or your workend.
Manx Radio. Chris Pearson, the Sunday Chill Out.
Sundays from 7 till 9.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Fast by, good afternoon. A message also in this, this was from, let me see here, Carlos, who just said, what's the situation with, you mentioned those Lord Street flats, aren't going to have people in them anymore. Is that right? That's the plan. Obviously, they've moved a lot of people from the Lord Street flats in Douglas to the new flats on further up the Peel Road where the old Athol garage was. They're going to be in there fairly shortly, but they've not quite said what the future is going to be for the remaining Lord Street flats. But we'll keep an eye on that, certainly. Thank you for that, Carlos. A new system, and this is something that's just happened for, it's a summer activity, holiday and food programme. It's a new scheme that's been launched to support families over the summer holiday. It's going to be, it's being paid for. It's interesting because obviously sometimes these things come out of taxation. Well, this has. It's the sugar tax, what's called the SDIL, the soft drinks industry levy. Charity groups and community groups on the Isle of Man are being invited to apply for funding to provide activities and healthy meals for children who are eligible for free school meals this summer. This is a pilot summer holidays activity and food programme, part of the Manx government's commitment to protect lower income families against rising living costs. If you want more information, you can call 642 639. The deadline's the 26th of June. It's if you're an organisation, you basically apply to establish a new programme which includes a nutritious breakfast, dinner or lunch, or to open up to existing groups, clubs, activities, to more children. To get funding, you've got to be asked to demonstrate to you providing a safe and inclusive environment and an overview of what you're going to do, what the meals are going to be and the cost, including details of location, facilities and the number of children you can support. As I mentioned, this is coming from the sugar tax. Interesting, isn't it, that that sugar tax is being used to put some money back into this. You often wonder where these things go into. But if you want more information, if your charity or community group would like to be get some funding for providing activities and healthy meals for children who are eligible for school meals this summer, telephone number 642 639, 642 639, or you can email the Holiday Activity Food Programme. It's HAF. Inquiries at gov.im. That's HAF inquiries at gov.im. The Holiday Activity and Food Programme, something that's just been announced. Texts and emails coming in regarding and lots of suggestions as to where we should be regarding cannabis on the Isle of Man. Reg, I'll put it mildly and just say lots of people think we should have hash cafes on the Isle of Man. Is this going to work? Has anybody noticed the lack of a bus stop outside the new flats on Peel Road? Is that good thinking? I don't think so. Do you think that would... Where's the nearest bus stop? Just further past the Brown Bobby, I think, isn't it? A bit of walking there. And there aren't many parking spaces for that as well. Regarding children's holiday meals, I think it's same as the food bank use, says Andy. Surely shameful that we need a food bank on the Isle of Man. It's funny, Andrew, we often get texts and emails regarding the food bank. There is a substantial body of opinion that thinks that, you know, the food bank is, that we shouldn't have a food bank, that in providing a food bank, it kind of encourages people to rely on the food bank, i.e. if it's there, you'll rely on it. and that I'm just paraphrasing what people have said in the past, in that people need to be able to stand on their own two feet, i.e. years ago, 40, 50, 60 years ago, there was no such thing as a food bank. You got in touch with your relatives and they helped you out. Times have changed. We do have a food bank on the Isle of Man, and it is well used, it has to be said. It is well used and was very well used during COVID. So the fact that we have, I just wonder whether you think that how it reflects on society on the Isle of Man, that we do have a food bank and that some people do find the need to rely on that food bank. Seems strange, doesn't it, in 2022 that should be happening. Oh, I just want to remind you that tonight, I don't know, we've been talking about it all day, but tonight, 6 o'clock, Simon Clark is on Manx Radio with Jim Davison and Derry Kizik talking about the purple helmets. And the sun is setting on the brown coats of the purple helmets. There are appeal on Sunday for a packed house, but the purple helmets' final TT is this one. They will be appearing a couple of times more throughout the summer, but after this summer, apparently that's it. The brown coats will be put away, those thundering machines of theirs will be put to rest, and the legends that the purple helmets present will no longer be on the Isle of Man. They've raised smiles absolutely everywhere, and even had their own video and DVD. And have been across Europe. Anyway, you'll find out more tonight. Simon Clark, Derry Kizik, and Jim Davison. Times change, says 380. 50 years ago, food banks were called soup kitchens. It's a very good point. A message in from Huey just to say, as TT's nearly over, when does the World Cup start? Actually, the World Cup starts on November the 21st, and the World Cup final is on Sunday the 18th of December, the Sunday before Christmas. Are you ready? Thanks to Barry Redfern producing today.
WINT.